Landing gear is down.
Hello. Hello, 1, 2.
All right, we're on. We're rolling. Okay. Come on, talk.
Yeah, I'm talking.
Talking.
Talking by myself. I'm talking by myself.
I'm talking. Yes, indeed. I'm walking with you and me. This is, should we just watch it real quick, the only podcast where we do the intro whenever the fuck we feel like it. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Dr. Damien Gibson. I didn't go to 114 years of being interrupted school to be interrupted. Thank you very much. And in the blue corner, it's the Italian Gelden. It's the world champion of talking shit. It is Kelly Big Whoop. Want to fight about it? Fasuka, here she is.
Well, last week you forgot to do the intro and then added it at the very end, which I thought was fucking dumb.
Well, a lot of people are saying that it's great. And we love the intro, don't we, folks? People are going to get so sick of listening to the intro. Can you do a Trump? You can do every other impersonation.
I don't want to, because every time I think of him, I think about society falling down.
I think about him shitting in his pants.
He's definitely someone who shits his pants. And the fact that...
How gross that would smell, given his diet is exclusively McDonald's. Do you know this?
Not dead yet.
So I don't know if it's changed now he's in the White House, but before he became president, he would only get food from fast food restaurants. And his reason for it, he'd only go through drive-thru, so they didn't know it was him. And his reason for it was no one could poison his food. Because so how much of a fucking arsehole do you need to be where you're worried about, preemptively worrying about random people poisoning your food? You
know that famous footage of him when basketballers came to the White House and he had like a whole table full of McDonald's, like just burgers and fries everywhere, and all I could think of is like, those chips are cold.
Yeah, the chips are cold,
There's no way, like, if there were any fry in the world that does not retain heat, it's the McDonald's fry.
The McDonald's fry does not retain heat.
They don't. And it's
truer words never spoken.
They're really the non-superior of fries too. I mean, KFC fries are
This is a good question. Good. Yeah. What fast food place? I actually had this conversation at work the other day because we're a really important team at my work and we spend a lot of time talking about this kind of stuff. Which fast food restaurant, fresh, so I'll give you these parameters. Completely fresh at their optimum, right? So
KFC.
You're not even thinking about it.
Look, if you have McDonald's nuggets when they're optimum freshness, they're delicious. They're crunchy, like they're great. Yeah. But KFC, not the chips, but the chicken when it's like fresh as all fuck.
No, but I'm asking chips. Which place has the best fries / chips?
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a different question. If it's just fries, Chicken Chops.
No, it has to be a chain.
Because
I would say fish and chip shops, you know, like.
Why does it have to be a chain?
Because this was the parameters of the conversation we're having the other day. It's a hypothetical situation. There's parameters.
Well, McDonald's, if it's fresh, Maccas. Really hot chips, Maccas. Yeah, I think.
Because the options would be a Porto, KFC, McDonald's, Red Rooster.
McDonald's. If it's freshness, McDonald's are the best.
Carl's Jr.
But it's like. But the.
El Jenna.
Nah, McDonald's. It's for me, it's McDonald's. Because I just feel like if the question is if it's fresh, like it's straight from the vat to like the cup to the bag.
Yeah.
They really are delicious, but it's too much of a gamble because they're never not hot. They just, if they're cold, it's just the range from delicious hot to like the Venn diagram of hot, delicious to cold and not is like crazy.
Look at my range.
What about you?
I'm going to go with KFC.
Chips, really?
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah, I disagree.
Fresh, completely fresh at the perfect temperature with the Colonel's chicken salt that they put on it to make you crave it fortnightly. Smart ass. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't agree. Well,
you know who does have good chips? Actually, this is just a flat out plug. Bell's Chicken in Fitzroy. It's like a sort of upmarket American barbecue chicken place called Bell's Chicken on Gertrude Street in Fitzroy. It is the most delicious American barbecue food I've ever had in Australia. Mm. If you are, and it's not that expensive. Like a meal's like $25.
Okay.
For chicken and chips and a drink. Really good people in there as well. It's a cool place. Like if you want to go in and eat it, or if you get takeaway. Either way, we get it at work all the time. Awesome.
Mm. Just two little fatties talking about their fucking food.
God, I fucking love food so much. I love fast food so much.
I know. It's a real bad. It's not good. Like it's not
good.
It's not good. Like it's
you know what's also good that I didn't think would be good but is good? The Big Arch Burger at McDonald's.
I haven't had it, but I feel like I'd want to have it. I feel like it's a Big Mac.
It's a Big Mac quarter pounder. Yeah. It's like imagine a quarter pounder but a Big Mac. And but then there's also these little crunchies in it, like little onion crunchies that are in the sauce.
Killing me, mate.
It's fucking delicious.
Oh, mate. I have my Manjaro every Monday. So
Manjaro.
By the time it gets to Sunday, By the time it comes to Sunday, I can really have a dirty little meal.
A dirty little meal. Maybe we should do a fast food podcast or YouTube channel called A Dirty Little Meal.
sorry, guys. I don't think people want to hear the fucking depth of despair that is two fucking fatties who married each other who love food and every day is a constant fight not to be 600 pounds.
I think that's exactly the kind of content people go to YouTube for.
It's too sad.
But we would be happy because we're eating the food.
You're not happy. No, I'm unhappy because I eat and I eat because I'm unhappy. Don't you remember, fat bastard?
Is that your Scottish accent?
I didn't try.
Oh, okay. I didn't try.
Yeah.
But
you know what I mean? Like it's we all think we're happy, but we're not.
Yeah. I've got another shout out as well. I want to give a shout out to the tradie who told me that my bag was open on the V-line the other day.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. My Ventolin was like falling out of my bag. Aww. And he was like, "Hey, champ, and tapped me on the shoulder. And I was like, "Oh." And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "The zip in your bag is coming undone. Your Ventolin's about to fall out, mate. You don't want to lose that. They're like hen's teeth."
Hen's teeth, he said that.
Yeah, he did say that. Because I remember thinking, no, they're not. You just go to the chemist and get another one. But I appreciate it. I appreciate it, my man. And thank you. It was nice. Wyndham Vale. You think that people, you know, a tradie's behind me, taps me on the shoulder. I'm like, "Oh, fuck, what's this about?"
I do love that. It's nice. You're on the train and you've got your big fucking autism headphones on and you're like, "Oh, my Ventolin." Got like, of course, like that tradie's like, "Of course he's got a fucking Ventolin." You know what I mean? Ventolin, a switch, you know, they're just all the things that make you nerd.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course, like they wouldn't be like, you know, I don't know, what's something that's cool? Something that kids do that's cool.
Vaping?
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be a vape in there. Yeah, that's exactly right. There would not be a vape in there. But that like, it's like,
Yeah, I was pretty annoyed that I had to pause my switch to talk to this guy.
And you would have been so, like, knowing you, you would have been like, "Oh, what?" When you had to pause. But the fact that you had to take a headphone off or pause what you're listening to, like the gumption of this man interrupted you, you would have been like, "What?" And then by the time you realized that someone did something nice for you, he would have already walked away and you would have been like, oh, right. And you would have had a coffee in your hand, headphones, you would have dropped something while you were trying to fix something up. I can just see it.
I was very nice to him. I was really nice to him.
I hope you were. I hope you were because when I have to tap you on the shoulder and get your attention
here we go.
5 seconds and you got those fucking headphones on, God forbid. God fucking forbid. Guys. Man, this dog is walking around and the way she's sniffing, I feel like she's either sniffing to try and find chicken that's fallen out of a Kong they just had.
Yeah, we gave Evie a Kong thinking that would keep her occupied for 30 minutes while we recorded this. It's lasted about four.
I know.
So if you hear some butts, she's real puppy update. Boop, 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 boop. Evie's going through a real kind of terrible twos period. She kind of has been like this the whole time we've had her, but the last few nights in particular, she is just like on edge, and anything that goes past the house, she just yaps. And she has the biggest diaphragm of a tiny puppy I've ever. She is so loud. Her bark is so loud. Like, it's crazy. She's like Bon Scott. She's got this amazing diaphragm.
Look at her right now. She's gone straight to the window.
She's gone straight to the window.
She's gone straight to the window with anticipation to bark.
We do have a house across the street that has at least four cats that we know of, and they just let them out. They just wander the streets. One of them's pregnant.
And they're just antagonizing the dogs.
Yeah, and our dogs hate it. Jim's falling asleep sitting up at the moment.
Oh, Gimme, come here, baby.
He's such an old man that he was literally like nodding off and falling onto Kelly. Anyway.
He's laying on the cord.
Oh, Jim, come on, mate. Jesus Christ.
Baby. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry, Jim. Yeah.
Have you watched anything this week?
I've just been struggling to watch, like, because we got – I watched the rest of – just like that, the Sex and City thing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I finished the, like, last episode and stuff.
What happens in – this is season three? Anyway, sorry about that. Sex and the City, season three.
Sex and City –
Or Just Like That, sorry.
Just Like That, whatever. I just wanted to watch the last episode. And it's interesting. I do find that they wrapped up. They did get rid of Aiden. Like they actually just naturally broke up. Like they're not a fit for each other anymore. And I think that was a good thing to do because there was a perpetual thing about how Aiden, you know, was like the one that got away, and she got a lot of flack for not, you know, respecting. Or, you know, she fucked over Aiden. Blah blah blah. And then when the relationship come back, they're in two different areas, and there's elements of there's elements of Aiden that are not great. I think it was good, but the season ends where she's writing a book, like a book set in like the 1600s, 1700s, whatever, like a Wuthering Heights type book, and the book is like about her, you know, falling for a man, and like, you know, and she's like, I've never written something that's not modern before. And so she writes it and da-da-da, blah-blah, and then, the publishers are like, this is going to be huge. This book will be huge. Like, it's great. But they have a problem with the ending because it ends with her not getting with the man. And they were like, can you write, it's like there's no hope when a chick doesn't end with the man. So she starts writing an epilogue that kind of, like, you know, suggests that, you know, like, the woman wondered, blah, 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 and a guy, like, you know, leaves her a note and, like, all these stuff. And then she ends up just deleting it because she's like, oh, what the fuck for? She's like, and it was something like the last line of it is, you know, like, you know, you can be alone, but I'm not lonely, you know, like, yeah. She's got a full life.
Yeah.
And I think it was good to go, yeah, why not? Like, why not have her just, you know, because the whole thing about her is that she is the last single girl. Anyway, so I thought it was a good ending. What have you been watching?
We signed up to HBO Max just because there was like a deal or whatever.
There's nothing on there.
Not really. Not anything that you haven't already watched.
And how much was it supposed to be a month on its own?
It's like $16 a month.
There's nothing on there.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious?
If you had never watched a HBO show, maybe it would be worth it because you could watch The Sopranos.
There's like 8 shows on there, and then there's like 5 reality shows and like 4 movies. There's nothing on there.
Yeah.
HBO Max got nothing on it.
The problem is that everything's on binge still. Foxtel owns everything. So even though these platforms come into the market, there's still a whole bunch of stuff that so here's an example. The Flash, the CW show The Flash, which is a DC show, which should be on HBO Max and in America would be, is on Stan in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. All the HBO, DC, Warner Brothers stuff, there's all this stuff that's already got predetermined contracts with all these other streamers that already work. So they've come into a market where they don't have anything, but they've just put it out there. Yeah, and like you say, there's like The Sopranos. What else is on there? Sex in the City.
Yeah, it's like nothing. The Last of Us, I think. But also I feel like The Last of Us was on Binge. Yeah, there's heaps of stuff still on other streaming. It's not worth it.
Well, then I noticed that The Sopranos showed up on Amazon Prime as well.
Yeah.
So, like,
what's the point?
Australian streaming, like, it just, I was saying to you the other day that, like, at the risk of sounding like a complete boomer, if a Foxtel type situation appeared where it was like, hey, for $60 a month, you can just have all of the good content, I would pay for it. I wouldn't think twice about it. I would even go back to having an IQ box, like a DVR, and then just watching it. I think I'd prefer it that way. But anyway, I don't know. But yeah, because we got HBO Max, I've watched a bit of like DC cartoon stuff. I don't know if you want me to talk about that.
If you want to.
Now we got Jim sitting in the way. So I can't even see Callie. Jim's Hello. Just sitting in my face. I've just started rewatching the old Batman the Animated Series show, which is critically acclaimed. It's sort of cited as like the best cartoon, like superhero cartoon of all time. I don't enjoy it as much as other people do. I can see why people like it. It's got that sort of Art Deco styling, and Kevin Conroy as Batman is great, and blah blah. Mark Hamill as the Joker is great, and they use the Tim Burton, the Danny Elfman score through the whole cartoon. But I think I'm finally at a point where I'm too old to be watching fucking.
Nah, you can watch cartoons. Whatever you want. Who says?
It just doesn't resonate. I think there's a, no one really talks about this at the moment, and I don't want to sound like one of those lefties that's like, it's so hard to watch entertainment when there's children dying in the, but I find it very hard to not, like, I was watching wrestling last night, I got 20 minutes into it, I couldn't concentrate, and then I went back on YouTube and watched an hour and a half of news. And
we've got to stop watching news in this house.
I can't not. Yeah, but I can't let go. I know intellectually it's like, oh, well, give yourself a break, blah, 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 but I just can't. There's just so much wrong, and it stresses me out so hard that I find it difficult to enjoy anything. There's this low level of anxiety around everything that I'm like, well, how the fuck can I watch a fucking TV show when a genocide's happening in Palestine, and America's on the brink of fucking fascist collapse, and blah blah. You can't even go on the fucking internet to enjoy yourself because you've got to fucking upload your ID, and if you say anything that's not correct, there you'll get fucking arrested, and blah blah. Not fun. Anyway, you know, HBO Max Australia, it's shit.
We're glad
don't
you tuned
it.
In for the optimism of the podcast.
I was actually in a pretty good mood, and then I haven't really watched anything, so I suppose we just talk about the movie, which is Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead, which we watched during the week.
So I have loved this film for so long, and I've been trying to rewatch it for so long. Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead, Christina Applegate. I love this film so much. It's finally, I think it was on HBO Max. That's why. Or Prime, maybe. Yeah, anyway. So it was worth getting it for a month just for that. If you remember this film, go back and rewatch it. I actually didn't find it, like, you know, sometimes you rewatch old films, and this was 91, and sometimes they're problematic.
Yeah.
Right? Most problematic thing about this one here is that the guy she was dating ends up being just a fucking, like, it's like one of those things where it's like he cares about her, but he's he's just a young kid who's being shit, like, why don't you tell me where you work? And she doesn't want to tell him because she's lying about, you know, where she works. Why won't you tell me? Is it another man? And she's like, no, I just don't feel like, what if I want to send you flowers? Like, that kind of,
this is on their second date
as well.
So for anyone who's not 45 years old, the premise of Don't Tell Mum the Babysitter's Dead is essentially the title of the film. There's a mum who has five kids. They live in this massive house on like the outskirts of LA on this sort of farmland, like this giant block of land. And at the very beginning of the film, we find out that the mum is going away to Australia with her boyfriend and is leaving the five kids at home for the summer. And they think that they're going to be Christina Applegate, who's like 17. She's the eldest. She thinks she's going to be in charge for the summer. The mum hires a babysitter who died. What I will say about this film, they get through all of this shit really quickly.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So the mum, like within the first 2 minutes, the mum's gone. Then in the next 5 minutes, the babysitter shows up and then dies of natural causes.
She's an old woman and she's a bitch.
But yeah, and she's awful. So you don't feel bad about the
first
fact 15 that she's
minutes. Done.
So within the first 15 minutes, the mum's gone to Australia, the babysitter's shown up, she's died, and then they just drop her off at the morgue.
Yeah.
In a box saying, nice little old lady, she died of natural causes. And then we've got the movie, right? The movie starts from there of like they don't have any money. How are they going? And so the two eldest kids who are like 17 and 16, the girl and the boy, I don't have any of their names or anything here.
Christina Applegate is 20 in this film. She plays a 17-year-old. Superior actress.
She's really good in it.
Superior, underrated.
I was saying to you while we're watching the film, I don't understand why she wasn't given more opportunities to lead films. Like, especially at that point in time, because she was hot. Like, I mean, I don't mean hot as attractive, which she is also is, but like, she was everywhere. Like, she was like in teen magazines and blah, blah. So, like, I don't. Evie is genuinely trying to make as much noise as she can. Yeah. She just started scratching on a baseball bat, like anything she can do to get.
Yeah, because we've blocked all her access to look outside and see the cats.
It's fucking crazy. Anyway, like, yeah, so she like carries this film really well, and like for sort of like a coming of age comedy. This recording is shot.
Yeah.
It's almost pointless. Like, I don't know whether we start again or.
I think we just.
There's so much of her in the background.
I think we keep going because I just don't think people are going to be able to hear her as much as you think they are.
They will, because I'm the one that has to edit her out every other week. Anyway, she does a really good job of. And it's also the stress of having to watch her. Like, I can't get into a groove talking to you about stuff because I'm worrying about her the whole time we're recording. Anyway, yeah, she does a really good job of carrying the film. What else did you think about the film, Bob?
I love it so much. She's fantastic. And when you watch her in Dead to Me, you see how incredible of an actress she is. She's so fantastic. One thing that I've quoted forever and no one ever knows it ever, and I might do it once a day, where someone asks me to do something and I say, I'm right on top of that, Rose. And it's such a great line, and when you watch the movie you know what it's about. Basically, she's like, every time I'm on the phone to New York, I just want you to say in the background, I'm right on top of that, Rose. And it's just so it's just such a great thing. Anyway, every time I say it, no one ever knows what it's about. And so exciting. I'm pretty sure first movie for David Duchovny. He plays a sleazeball. He's had his hair slicked back and he's like, hey, broad, what's up? It's so, well, so good.
Yeah, so anyway, they have no money. So then Christina Applegate gets a job at a fast food restaurant. She hates it. That's where she meets her weird boyfriend who shows up later in the film. But don't worry about him right now. And then she sees a job for a receptionist at a fashion house. Is it a fashion house? They make like uniforms or something, right? Anyway, when she gets there, she meets her boss who just instantly likes her and gives her like an executive assistant role or whatever. And so she's earning.
She just lies on her CV.
Yeah, she just completely lies. And listen, kids. This is a film, like, this is true. Just lie on your CV it doesn't matter. It's all a fucking joke. Don't worry about it. Whatever you can do. That was the one thing about this film at the end of the film. So anyway, that's where the farce comes in. She's this 17-year-old girl who's got a proper adult job and she's trying to like spin all these plates at once. She's trying to look after her brothers and sisters. She's trying to look after the house. She's trying to keep this job going when she doesn't know what she's doing.
You know what I love the most is like movies in the 90s and stuff really show technology, like how much – like even just in 10 years, how much things changed. Like really, that was 91. By 2001, really fax machines weren't getting used anymore.
Yeah.
It was all email. And just like her like trying to get used to the fax machine and then her, you know, like all of her work is like pen to paper and she's like drawing designs. You know, I think – was there a mobile phone? I don't know. I don't think so. Petty cash. Like it was all cash and stuff. There was no credit cards.
No mobiles in 1991.
No.
Well, actually, yeah. I think one of the characters has like a giant brick phone. But in the early 90s, a giant brick, having a mobile phone was the sign of like you were the bad guy.
Yeah.
You were like the sleazy wanker.
Yeah, you'd like talking on a mobile phone. You're a piece of garbage. Yeah. You value work over living in the moment, man.
Yeah, but then this film like kind of disguises itself as being a young person's film, but in reality it is really a very capitalistic film. It basically is like, you know, these kids are worthwhile as soon as they get their hair cut, clean the house, learn the value of hard work. You know what I mean? Like, because the little brother, the 16-year-old brother who's kind of like the surrogate dad of the family in this film, he's like a metalhead and a stoner and stuff at the beginning
dishes
of the film.
Dishes are done, man.
Yeah, right? And that character only existed from like 1989 to 1994, you know, of like the stoner metalhead. You know?
Yeah, but I love...
But then he gets his hair cut and he like works out that he wants to go to cooking school and stuff and now he's a valuable member of society.
Yeah, and he's like, man, can't wait for next year where we go to school and we don't do anything.
Yeah,
we're like,
going to smoke bongs and stuff and he's like, I don't know, man, I was thinking that maybe I could go to culinary school,
But then he goes, I don't know, but thinking about school next year, yeah, man, it's going to be great. He's like, I don't know, I was thinking about trying. but I love the little nuances of like how technology changes where they were like her CV had all this stuff in there and obviously like she lied or whatever and she's like and it's such a perplexing thing. She must have lied. She must have and then like the bad guys are trying to, you know, find out blah, blah, blah. And he's like, look at her CV though. She must have had one of those resume writing books. Oh, it's a resume writing books. Just be one of those CV books, those resume writing books that teach you how to, like the concept
but
that she...
didn't she get her resume from one of the, didn't she just, like, photocopy it?
Yeah, whatever it was, yeah. Like, she's... but the fact that there's a book, so it's like, need to write a resume?
Yeah.
Buy this book and it will teach you how to write a resume. I fucking love that so hard. Like, I want kids. Like, I want my, 25-year-old. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of the age where my nephews are too young, but a kid that's like 20. I want a kid that's like 20 that is smart enough to like understand the film, to watch it, and I want them to like tell me, you know, what they think about. Kids. If you weren't alive for 9/11, then you will watch movies in a totally different way than we do because we remember when there were no phones and we had to buy a book to read how to do something and all this stuff. And I just feel like, do you know what I mean? Like kids that are 20, 21, you know, if you said to them, you know, we had to buy a book, like that's like in, you know, when we asked our parents in the 80s, you know, how do you know where to get somewhere? Like, you know, even a Malways.
Yeah.
Even, like, think about a Malways. Like, I had a Malways in my car. I got a Malways for Christmas when I was 18 because I just started driving.
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like if you had to, like, we had a map, a book in the car, That's how we did it. Like, a kid's just like, that's wild. Like, when I tell kids about my ways, is that like, do you know what I mean? Is that like when our parents said, what, I'll just, because the thing is, it's really in our generation that things change that much. Is that, what's the equivalent to our parents? You know, I had to walk to school. My parents never drove me to school. It's like that. I had to walk through the snow for 5 miles to get to school. You remember those ones?
Yeah, well, people should be not driving their kids to school the way they do anyway. But anyway, I don't know, colour TV. Our parents would have got colour TV.
Colour TV.
FM radio.
Even just TV, I think, would be a thing where it's
FM
like,
radio seems to be a big thing. Boomers talk about that a lot. Yeah, and then in the early 70s, we got FM radio because then there was like 100 radio stations rather than like four, you know?
I feel like the TV one might be it because I feel like my dad growing up didn't have a TV. And it wasn't.
TV, yeah, definitely.
It wasn't until he was like 10 or 12 they got a TV.
TV came to Australia in 1956. Yeah. For the Olympics.
So dad wouldn't have had a TV. 100%.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just saying, so by the time our parents are teenagers, that's probably when you're starting to see TVs be affordable enough. Because my mum has told the story of my papa buying a TV. And this sounds exactly like him. For a while, my uncle and auntie were bugging him about getting and my mom were bugging him about getting a TV. And
wild.
He didn't want one. He was like, we don't need one. We've got a perfectly good radio.
Oh, my God.
Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? And then eventually, I think it was because football and cricket was on it that he.
Oh, fuck, here we go. Yeah, of course.
But it was a giant cabinet. I remember my uncle telling me about it. It was a giant cabinet. Like the TV was. Like bolted into the cabinet, and it was this giant, heavy ass thing that had to be took like two men to bring it into the house and stuff.
Do you remember your first TV in your house?
Yes,
because ours was like obviously no remote, and it was on four little legs.
No remote,
and it was wooden.
Ours was on it was on like a wooden platform.
Yeah,
so it was like a steel four. It was like an office chair. Imagine the base of an office chair, but it was on the top of that.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot when we first started. And, like, this TV was not great. It was not very big. I would say it was probably a 32-inch screen.
Mm.
Maybe not even that. Maybe 27-inch.
Just trying to look at.
It was colour. It was definitely colour. Yeah, and I still remember the feel. It had a silver knob, and I still remember the feeling of it in my hand when you had to turn.
Click,
and
click,
it would
click.
Like click, 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 click when you turned it around the channels.
Yeah, I'm just looking now.
That's why you'd end up watching stuff. Me and my sister would end up watching shows like Wide World of Sports on a Saturday for like 4 hours at a time. Because we couldn't be bothered getting off the couch to walk across the room to change the channel to see if there was it was like, this will do. This is fine.
And it had like a little button that you would turn.
Yeah.
And it was numbers 1 through 0.
Yep.
Channel 10 was 0.
Channel 2 was channel 2.
Yeah.
7 was 7, 9 was 9.
And you would just
9.
Like click, 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 click. And then the volume
and
was
8
the little
was
lever.
SBS, but we could never get SBS.
No, we never got SBS. No, I'm just trying to see.
There was this like weird other channel that was like you could hear people talking in other languages and stuff, but you were like, oh, I don't know what that is.
We had that TV for so long.
So long, yeah, same.
Like
my dad was pretty good at just going, fuck this, and getting new stuff. Mum was a lot. It was hilarious that mum tells that story about my grandpa being a pain in the ass, and then my mum was exactly the same. And we're like, we need a Mum, please, can we get a VHS? Can we get a VHS? Can we get a VHS? And then one day dad went out on a Saturday afternoon. He came home with a new TV and a VCR player. And it was just mind-blowing. Yeah. Me and Vanessa were so excited.
Like that. Like it was
yeah, that's
wooden.
What our TV looked like.
Yeah, it was wooden. I just remember it had like a wooden look to it.
Kelly just brought up a photo of her TV.
Yeah, and it had a wooden look to it. But what would happen is the picture would run where it would jump.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
so
the V hold. You'd have to adjust the vertical and horizontal hold.
Right, wild, right? And it used to jump.
Yeah.
And the only way for us to fix it was we would hit it on the top. So you'd be in bed and you just hear
that's
a bang.
The little, no, the little black knob in, you know how there was like a little black knob in.
Damien.
That's what that was for.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're so smart. Thanks for telling us. Obviously, fuckhead, the knob wasn't working anymore. Obviously, because it was such an old TV.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. But your little fucking autistic brain's like, oh, that's because you didn't touch the blah, blah, blah. Obviously, it wasn't working, you fuckhead. My God. Like, oh, Dad, just letting you know, remember when you used to hit the TV? Yeah, Damien figured it out, but we just didn't know him by then. Obviously, right, we had that probably early 90s, like 1990,
mm-hmm.
we still had that TV and you'd be in bed and you'd hear someone whacking it on the top because the picture was running. Mate. But it was colour, and then my mum and dad had a black and white TV in their bedroom, and then me and Joanne got it for our bedroom.
Yeah, big deal.
Right, black and white TV in our bedroom because I think by that stage it was like, 1990, we got a big black TV. It wasn't big, but, you know, it was like big as in it was like a massive box. And then I went into the lounge room and then I think the old one. But I do remember, so this is wild, I can't even remember like what, I feel like for Joanne, when Joanne turned 21, what her birthday present was a small TV that had a built-in VCR.
Yeah.
And that went in our room. And I remember just being like, this is the biggest game changer in my life. The fact that I can watch The Late Show whenever the fuck I want. Like, it was more my present than it was hers. Can you believe that?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if that TV is still around. Anyway, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead is fantastic. And also, I should reference, one of the kids steals money and then buys a like an entertainment system.
Yeah.
And then the TV is like, I don't know, like 30 centimetres by 40 centimetres wide. But then it's got like there's 17 different stereo systems to go with.
Yeah, that was a big thing in the – I mean, obviously that system is there for comedic effect. But that was a big thing in the 80s and 90s, like having a graphic equalizer for your stereo and stuff. It's like, listen, you could turn the bass up and turn the treble down. And
so good.
So fucking crazy.
So good.
Because you would have a vinyl player and then the amplifier to make the vinyl player go, and then usually a tape deck that would be connected to that as well, a double tape deck, and then also a graphic equalizer. And all of these would go... So you have like this four-tiered thing with
nerds,
like giant speakers next to them.
Listen, I want to give this movie 4.5 grumps, and the only reason why it's not getting 5, because I genuinely love every element of it. Like, the story's good, you know, that she's pretending to be a 25-year-old executive assistant. The characters are good. The half star is that just the boyfriend is just such a fucking drip.
Ah, he's a dork.
It literally says to her, where do you work? And she goes, I don't want to tell you, you know, because she doesn't want to say because it's a lie. And he's like, what if I want to send you flowers?
They're halfway through their second date as well, by the way. It's not like there was like a time jump. It's not like there's a montage where it's like, oh, they've been together for the whole summer or whatever. It's like the second date. And he's like, what if I want to send flowers to your work?
Ugh.
Like... well, you're not going to get to do that because you're a fucking psycho. Good night. See you later.
But also, how good is the baddie, the chick? Go upstairs and then go to a room that is called, you guessed it, personnel. Oh, everything about this film is just, I love it. I love it. I just think it's so, and you're right. The timing, it moves along well enough where there's enough montages
really
for you to see what's up.
Yeah, it goes a really good clip. I would just say watching it now as a middle-aged man, I never really picked up on that. It's like every fucking film we watched as a kid was this, where it was like, okay, well, you can have your fun, but by the end of the film, you better fucking be a good adult that, like, you know, contributes to this capitalist system. Otherwise, you're a fucking loser. But you know what I don't like about the end of this movie? Besides the fact that she gets together with the loser boyfriend who's, like, got some real fucking misogynistic issues.
Yeah.
So her boss, right, who's been actually a pretty good chick throughout this whole film.
Have you ever had a 48-hour orgasm, Sue Ellen? That's one of her lines.
So she finds out at the end of the film that Sue Allen, Christina Applegate, has lied to her because Christina Applegate tells her. And then she says, you know what? Who cares? You're very good at this. Like, because she, like, Christina Applegate, like, does a whole bunch of designs that the buyers in New York love. So this boss finds out that she's like, that Christina Applegate's lied to her, says, I don't care. I still like you as a person and you're good at this job. So why don't you come work for me? And Christina Applegate goes, no, I'm going to go to college and learn how to be a designer. And I was like, man, these fucking films are so indoctrinating to kids of like, so like I said to Kelly when we were watching the movie, she's going to go to fucking college, come out with a degree, not be able to get a job anywhere she actually wants to get to the job, and then end up going back to this woman saying, hey, can I get a job? And in that time, that woman would have filled the fucking role.
Yeah, man.
It's like, listen, just cheat the system. Get in and get out as quick as you can, okay?
It's just,
she should just take her, that's her dream job is the fucking design clothes, and she says no to go to school.
I know, but also I love that.
Oh, my God. It's like a fucking after-school special where every single one of the kids has to go, I've learned something today. It's like the fucking end of South Park. I've learned something today. I need to go to school and to be a good fucking citizen.
I know. And I just,
it's crazy.
I also love how she's like the innovative young kid that designs all these clothes. And New York went gaga off all of her designs. And her designs are
at this uniform shop.
Yeah. And her designs are, so basically they design clothes for maids and nurses and school kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Generic stuff. And the nurse's uniform is like pink with a Velcro stethoscope attached to it and like a real tight dress with like pink, like shiny leggings that go with it and like ballet flats that actually lace up.
Yeah.
Dude, I love it.
But I had a fun time. I had a fun time watching it. I'm just going to give it 3.5. I would have given it 4, but the fucking ending, man, her getting together with this like toxic fucking dude and then saying no to dream job. Huh?
Josh Charles, post...
from Dead Poets Society.
Post Dead Poets Society. Knocks Over Street.
Yeah, Knocks Over Street. Good name, Knocks Over Street.
Nwanda. You can call me... No, that's another character.
That's a different character. Mm. Exercising my right not to walk, sir.
makes me think of the SNL sketch. One of the good sketches that has been done by them is the Captain My Captain one. And then it's all like... good, and it's, you know, it's definitely a homage to Dead Poets Society. And then Pete Davidson gets on the desk,
yeah,
and he goes, and then the fan cuts his head off.
Yeah.
It's great. Good. Anyway, all right,
good stuff. Well, look, sorry for the first half of the podcast. Hopefully I've edited enough to get Evie out of it.
She's
completely asleep.
She's on my lap sleeping in the weirdest way. It's like so adorable.
If she wasn't the cutest dog in the world, I would legitimately murder her. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. I just want to give a big shout out to our new theme. It's written and recorded and produced by my mate Phil Tucker of Alpine
fame. I know, Phil. I was there.
He also does his own stuff called Music Valium. So go check out Alpine or Music Valium. That's Phil's stuff. Thank you so much, Phil, for giving us this theme. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
And more people listening to the show. We never talked about that, but Spotify flagged us for both of our themes, which were both out of copyright. So if you run it's all over the internet at the moment, people are getting dragged for the craziest of shit. Check out Rick Beato's YouTube channel, where he's literally every video he puts up at the moment is being, he had videos about, like, he did a documentary about the making of Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins that he made with the Smashing Pumpkins, and those videos got taken down by YouTube. So things are fucking out of control at the moment. So we had to go and get someone to do a theme for us that was off the cuff. So thank you so much, Phil. We really appreciate that. Otherwise, every episode of our podcast was going to get taken down off Spotify. So fuck God. Spotify.
But what if they do that again with Phil's stuff and they go, it's copyright? Like, do we have a thing where we can go back?
Because it's not copyrighted.
No, but can we go back? Like what stops someone like Spotify going, there's copyright music in this, and then we go, no, it's not. We
because
made it
ourselves.
Because
they're using AI scanners, so those songs are showing up because they'll be in their library of, you know what I mean? So both of
those
songs.
They're not copyrighted songs.
I know, but so the Bach one that we were using previously, because it was on a London Symphony Orchestra recording of it, and I managed to argue the point of like, this song was written 185 years ago. And they came back and they were like, oh, yeah, but it's on this thing. And I was like, look. And then, you know, I had to go and do all this stuff and write these emails back and forth just to keep our episodes up, because they were going to take every single one of them down. But Phil, like this song, the theme that you've heard at the beginning, it's not on anything else. So they can't scan it anywhere other than our podcast. So it'll be fine. But we're going to be moving platforms this week anyway. We're not doing stuff on Spotify anymore. You'll still be able to listen to us on Spotify. We just won't be hosting it. Anyway, thank you, Phil. We really appreciate it because you got us out of a bind. So thank you very much.
Yay. Well, keep, thanks for listening,
everyone. Keep listening. We love you very much. Figures going up. Love you, bub.
I love you.
I'm going to go watch hours of wrestling. Have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.